We'll call to order the April meeting of the Cure Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, next item is approval of the minutes from February 4th. Again, remind everybody, we did not have a meeting for March, so our last minutes are from February 4th.
Greg, I've got one correction on item three. Josie gave me a field promotion, it's got Chairman Tyson instead of Member Tyson. Item three.
Item three.
Chairman.
Are there any other changes or discussion regarding minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes with that one change? Second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, next item, even though we don't have it, we do have the opportunity for comments to the commission, and I guess we should probably put that technically on the agenda in the future, so we do have a section right after approval of the minutes for comments, public comments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next item would be public comments, and I know we do have a public comments because Charlie's here and he called me last night that he wanted to talk, so.
My name is Charlie Allen. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak. For a number of years, I've been concerned about the density of the traffic on our two main arteries, and that's Dow Road and Fort Fisher Boulevard. It seems to be getting worse each year. And I think what we're doing in trying to evaluate where the community is going is we're looking at things in a box when we're examining them, rather than how it's going to impact the whole area, particularly with traffic. I know traffic is not a responsibility of PNC. But what is a responsibility of PNC is the zoning and what impact that is going to have. Supposedly, the land use plan is supposed to be a generalized plan that takes all these concerns into consideration and lays out a future. The problem with that is what they do is council comes up with something, planning and zoning comes up with something, the public comes up with something, and they sort of mishmash all these things together without talking about all the interaction that these different areas are going to have, including parking on the road, side of the road. We're at a point, I think, that with the traffic increasing during the summertime, the way it has, that we're going to have bottlenecks in Cure Beach that are going to be restricted as far as the flow of traffic and the survivability of businesses as a result of not having parking spaces. You're all aware that this is the only beach community that does not have parking meters. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with, though, is that where most people are parking, quite naturally, is in the business district or in the area where businesses are predominant. This cuts out a lot of traffic for businesses. I think we need to be looking at different alternatives for solving the problem. One of the problems we have, I call them miniature motels, and that's these houses that are going up with 8 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms and so forth. These buildings are actually commercial buildings. They're supposed to be residents. But they're residential in type, not in use. They're commercial in use. And when they're commercial in use, they have a different... Excuse me, I shouldn't say they do have, because I don't know whether that's been changed. But at one time, the commercial use of a residential building needed a greater parking space capacity than a residential use of that building. North Carolina General Statute 42A expresses what is tourist vacation homes. And these are residents that are used for tourism. When a person comes in for a, trying to think of the word, a certificate of operation for the business, a license for the business.
Privilege license.
Right, privilege license. When they come in for a privilege license, basically they're coming in not for renting out a building to a resident, but for renting the building out for commercial use, meaning weekend vacationers and so forth. There's also tax that's collected from these businesses that goes towards the building up of the berm and so forth. So there are enough of indications as to what a building is being utilized for. And I think that what needs to be done here is that it needs to be shown that a person does have enough of parking spaces on their property for vehicles as outlined in the parking, the way it used to be. I don't know what the way it is today. But at one time, it was controlled in such a way that you couldn't be blocking all the cars. You had to have a means of ingress and egress or getting in and out if you wanted to. Another thing that concerns me is that we have a committee for parking, I believe. Is that still in existence, the parking committee? We have town council that functions in certain areas, and I think it would be a good idea to combine some aspects of these committees that have a relevant impact on the community in such a way that they can discuss the positive and negative impacts of various areas and do it in a logical way. And I am also assuming that planning and zoning still has in place when they put a proposal forward that they send that information out to Public Works and Police Department and ask them for their input if they have any problems with that. Is that true or not? Do you still do that?
It depends on what's in front of them.
Yeah.
If it's something about a subdivision or roads, then
yes, we would. But if it's someone just building
I'm talking about maybe a business that's being built, a certain type of business. Is that going to create a problem because of the capacity of water that it's taking, or sewage that it's taking, or the number of people that it's generating, or the type of business as to how it relates to the police department and so forth? It's a good idea to bring in the separate departments when you have something new going on that is going to impact the community in ways that you may not be thinking about. You're thinking about planning and zoning within your own little block, but when you find out how it's going to impact an increase maybe in public works or an increase in the police department or an increase in sewer and water from the standpoint of our lagoon and so forth. I think at this time it might be a good idea to, what I'm really trying to suggest is that we start to consider this before the summer really heads this way, so that if there is an interest in curbing some of this, that the different people in the different sectors of government can get involved in it and maybe get some information up that would enable us to put a little bit of pressure on the state and the federal government to get Dow Road passed through to the south end. Because there's a big likelihood that this summer is going to wind up being impossible as far as traffic is concerned on 421 and 4 Fisher Boulevard. Do you have any questions?
All right, are you primarily concerned about parking issues? I know they are related, but parking issues or traffic issues? I mean, what's, I mean, you were talking primarily parking type of issues and then the traffic issues.
Craig, I can't separate them. Because when you're talking about parking and you're also talking about traffic, if your parking is improper, then you have a greater probability, you're going to slow down traffic because people don't have clear view vision or something. So you've got to meld the two so that you maximize the parking, but you minimize the danger of having accidents. So the two can't logically be separated, not in my
opinion. Are you concerned about parking in the designated parking slots in the business area, or are you suggesting that there's an overload parking where people park diagonally on the street and, you know, bunch up and start to interfere with...
Are you referencing some of the homes on 4 Fisher Road?
Yes.
There's six or eight cars where they're just parked where they can, and then people walk out with vehicles into the road and stuff like that.
Where that's one area to cut down on. Because if they're operating where they've got more of a capacity than they have parking, then they shouldn't be in business.
Okay. John, do you have any response to that? I mean, as I'm taking notes here, you know, obviously these mega homes, and Oak Island has just, I guess, passed the law now changing that, but these mega homes are really businesses. I mean, they're not intended to be... Full year residences. I mean, there tend to be mini hotels, basically. But they're still all classified as residential or in a residential area. What sort of regulations do we have, taxes/regulations, to deal with parking, number of people in them, all that sort of stuff?
Well, there's a two-part address to that. First of all, about 3 years ago, you'll remember we actually increased restrictions for parking for 1- and 2-family residential. Just for this reason, the requirements now are 2 parking spaces for the first 3 bedrooms and 1 for every additional bedroom. And then we went so far as to define a bedroom within our ordinance. So we have tried to increase the parking for some of these larger houses. And also, you know, CAMA restricts the size of these residences to 5,000 square feet. Another factor that comes into play there is the new floodplain that has come into effect since 2006, and that restricts some of the living space that is allowed to be used on that bottom floor.
Okay.
So I don't think the houses are quite as big as some people might think, but yeah, they can still cram as many people as they can possibly cram in. Secondly, I believe within the next 5 years we're going to see legislation passed that would create some of these larger houses, or would mandate some of these larger houses being considered commercial enterprises, solely on the reason that they're just huge and they're accommodating a large number of people.
And so, local legislation or state?
I believe it's going to come from the state. State building code, state legislation. I see it happening within 5 years. I believe it's coming from a safety standpoint more than anything. If you can remember the last couple of years, there's been a couple of incidences down on the Brunswick County beaches. One where the kids had a bunch of kids burn up in a house.
Right.
One where a deck fell down and a bunch of people were standing on the deck. And of course, this latest issue, they're trying to put a 15-bedroom house on the oceanfront.
Okay.
I don't see it. It's going to keep on progressing. People are going to, you know, maximize the use of their lots as much as possible, and I see it's going to come to a head sooner or later. And that's the talk that I'm hearing from surrounding municipalities also.
The new parking ordinance, as you've described it, is a lot more lenient than the one it replaced.
No, sir, it is not.
Excuse me?
Prior to this one, parking requirements were 2 parking spaces for the first 4 bedrooms and 1 additional for each bedroom. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, then it's been changed twice since I was on.
It was like that.
Yeah. It used to be 1 parking space per room for a commercial unit.
Well, I'm speaking of residential, 1 and 2 family.
You're speaking of a residence. I'm speaking of a commercial use.
Okay.
Well, right now these are classified. We can't change those as far as I know.
I understand that.
Resident. So when they're built, they'd be covered under the residential parking requirement. The question I had, as you were talking, I own a number of residential rental properties in Indiana, right around the university. Some of the businesses I have is to buy these things and fix them up and rent them. So I've got about 8 units there, and they have West Lafayette, Indiana, not Lafayette, Indiana, but West Lafayette, Indiana, because it's a college town, has what is called a rental certificate. It's kind of onerous in one respect because it's $500. And what it is the building inspector goes in to these. Anything you're going to rent has to have a rental certificate to it. It's $500. You go in, check for safety, all the safety issues, make sure everything is up to code and everything like that. And once you get the certificate, then you can turn around and rent it. You can rent it short-term, long-term, or whatever. And then you have to renew it like $100 a year, and then it's recertified every 5 years. So, one, it's obviously a way that the city can make money. It's a way of maybe kind of creating some discouragement about this sort of behaviors and all that sort of thing. We don't have anything like that, do we?
We do not.
Okay. I'm not suggesting that we do that, but could we do that?
I believe, as far as our town ordinances are concerned, we could put a mechanism in there that would allow us to enforce something like that. That is a good question for our town attorney.
Okay. All right. So that's one question I have. How much do we charge for a privileged license? Technically, if they're renting that, they should have a privileged license. Now, most people don't have privileged license, but...
Actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of the rentals, the short-term rentals, are very, very good about paying their paying their taxes and procuring their privileged licenses.
How much do you charge for a privileged license?
I believe for a rental like that, it's $25 a year.
So that's pretty small.
Well, it's state mandated, and we can't change that, really.
Privilege license and state
fees? Yes, sir. Those are state fees.
How come I hear that in Wilmington it's substantially larger?
I believe you can put a mechanism in the code to require more, but as far as the state privilege licensing goes, those fees are already documented and we cannot charge more than that. That is what the town clerk says.
All right. Does the room tax apply?
Yes, room occupancy tax is paid on a quarterly basis by each one of these rental companies.
And how is there any mechanism to
That is enforced only by the county. The county is only.
So we don't have nothing to do with that.
We cannot enforce that. They actually have forensic investigators that go through and they check online, they check VRBO, they actually do a very good job of making sure those taxes are collected.
Really? Any other questions?
I want to comment about the ordinance. 6 bedroom oceanfront home. How many parking spaces required?
5.
And what we see day in, day out throughout the summer is 9 cars, 10 cars, 11 cars. The house we were building recently just finished at 810 South Fort Fisher. A couple times during construction, drive up early in the morning, and there's 6 cars lined up on my construction site from across the street, little bitty house, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom. So it's not the ordinance that I see as the problem, it's just how are people using it, and if it's 6-bedroom, they're putting 15 people in there and 12 cars are coming. How can we regulate that? I don't have an answer for it. How do you regulate
the real estate, that? Real estate companies are encouraging them to, you know, carpool. They are doing that actively. So I spoke to them about it. It's actually on the website. They'll put how many parking spaces are available for each unit and everything like that.
And all the bonds and all
when you're the... when you're renting a house for $6,000 a week that sleeps 15 people and you've got four different families coming down.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of vehicles.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Can't we just have an ordinance that? Well, I guess the question is, address this. If there's five, you know, let's say there's an authorized, I don't know, 6-7 bedroom house, and so they've got, I don't know, 6 parking spaces. Let's say. How aggressive are we in ticketing those ones that aren't using those? I mean, now, again, if they're parking in a business spot, you know, I mean, there's nothing you can do. But, you know, in terms of Fort Fisher, you know, diagonally out there, I mean, technically, I would assume there's an ordinance that that is illegal.
Yes and no. That is town right-of-way. It is there for them to park on. If they are blocking anybody's access to their lot, at that point in time, you can ticket them if they are parking...
But they can park on Fort Fisher, and there's that's perfectly fine.
Okay. I hate telling people
that. Yeah. And one last question. Generally, in high rental areas, they also have an ordinance that has a limited number of unrelated persons type of thing. Do we have anything like that?
I've heard rumors of laws like that. I don't know where it's at, but it's not in North Carolina in any kind of research that I've done.
I think that would be...
California, Indiana, they have that, where you can only have a certain number of unrelated people per room. And it's obviously not trying to, from a moral point of view, but simply trying to limit...
Right.
15 people
spring breakers. For
spring breakers, yeah, and that sort of thing. But you haven't heard about that here?
I've heard it. I mean, I've looked for it. I don't know, you know... Okay. I don't even know how I'd enforce that. I mean... Remember, we live in a beach community.
I'm just asking, you know, to address the question. So that's all. You know,
bring your family tree with you.
Hey, make some cheaper vacations.
Yeah.
Any further questions? Any discussion?
Do we want to request the town attorney to be available to answer your first question?
I think what might be useful is the agenda for the town council's already put together, isn't it?
Up until next week, I think the 9th, I can get something on the calendar.
Can we put it on the calendar, and I will go there and I'll raise this issue and just get some feedback, because there will be a town attorney there then.
That's probably a good idea, because it will take us quite a few months to put something together.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll raise the issue of rental certificates. I guess from what I've heard, that's really about the only thing we can do is some sort of a certificate for rental to see if there's any indication that the council might be interested in that. But raise the issue in terms of concern about the parking and the mega occupancy process and see what they might direct us to do or direct some other committee to do.
You might want to check out 42A. North Carolina General Statute.
Okay.
That will give you a good idea of when a residential type of unit is falling into a commercial use rather than a private dwelling.
Charlie, have you looked into the details about taking Dow Road on down? We go a mile, we go down the other side of the port, cut in before the Air Force place.
I know what was supposed to be done. When I was on town council back in the late 70s, early 80s, and we discussed the problems that might arise out of the development of the South End, the museum, the ferry, the public beach, the aquarium, all those items down there. The state and Sunny Point assured us at that time, well, I wish I got it right, that if need be, if the traffic got too heavy, the Dow Road would be brought down to the South End. Recently, the Sunny Point has taken a 180-degree turn and are absolutely opposed to any road or any development or anything going on that property that's other than what might have been there previously and accepted in writing as being there and acceptable.
Well, to my knowledge, it would only help the traffic, the school buses and things like that are going to the aquarium. They can run faster and go down the backside, and when you're coming off the ferry, people would use that. But I would think our plan would be just to extend the road and have some berm and some clear. It's not to put property down there. You're not going to extend the road 2 miles and start building houses.
No. That's one thing I know they're not going to go with. But I think they could be sold on the fact that there's enough traffic on the road going down there that it might be advantageous to both the state and the federal government to extend the road. But it's going to take some pushing, it's going to take some evidence, and in essence, that's what I'm hoping will develop.
Well, it would not take much study to get some data on the winter traffic and the summer traffic. I'm a big bike rider, and in the summer, I pass far, you know, the speed limit is 35, and I don't ride that fast, but I can pass a lot of cars on my bicycle during the summer.
Well, I'll sit outside on my porch, and this is in the wintertime on a weekend, and the average traffic in front of my house on a weekend towards the latter part of the morning, early part of the afternoon, up until maybe about 5 or 6 o'clock, a car is passing my house one direction or the other every 4 or 5 seconds. So.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
And we'll bring it up to the council.
Okay, I plan on visiting the council too. So.
Okay, all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right, next item is old business. K Avenue Mixed Use District follow up council presentation on February 18th, council, as well as the illumination, separate illumination for the whole business district in terms of illumination. All right, this got very confusing. Let me go ahead and talk first, and I'll let John kind of explain what happened.
Well, do you want to take the first part first?
I'm going to take the first one first, okay, which is the Cave Avenue Mixed Use. All right. Just to remind everybody, and maybe we should have done this at two different times because it turned out to be confusing. When we put together the K Avenue Mixed Use District, and we have to remember that there are no businesses in the K Avenue Mixed Use District right now. Okay, these are all residential, so it's an overlay district. We had included as part of the lighting things a limitation about bare light sources. In fact, even what's in front of me is not what we included, I don't think. So it was pretty much straightforward, bare light sources, including not limited to festive light strands, incandescent, fluorescent, high intensity discharge, LED fiber optics, and neon used to outline property lines, open sales area, roof lines, doors, windows, and edges of walls, or any other property building or property from outside the building are prohibited except for holiday lighting permitted from Thanksgiving through January 15th of the new year. That's actually how it was when we originally held the public hearing and was originally presented to the council, actually not presented, but the council was part of that public hearing. We didn't have, and then at the same hearing, we also presented the general illumination, basically the same language. There was almost no discussion or concern about the restrictive language of the illumination under the KUs because it's not affecting any businesses. We were trying to protect the businesses that may go in the overlay district from the residential people that are right next door and all that sort of thing. However, in the public hearing, the council expressed a concern, as well as a couple people, that when it's being applied to the business community, that there are some things that perhaps should be in there, such as what about security lighting with motion detection, emergency lighting, residential zones, and then concern that, well, what happens if somebody already has some lighting up and, you know, that are we going to be asking them to take it down and so forth. So what we did then is we added the section, a sentence that says, this section does not apply. Now, this is not for the overlay district. This is for the general business area. We added, this section does not apply to security lighting with motion detection, emergency lighting, and residential zones. Okay, to be clear about that. In addition, we added language that that if somebody had something that they could, you know, bring it, I forget the language because it's not in front of me, but they could bring it to us and we would approve it as some sort of a plan, lighting program or something like that. So, we had these two things, a fairly restrictive, no reference to residential zones in reference to motion detection, emergency lighting in the K Avenue Overlay District. Again, it's not affecting any existing businesses at all, but for the general illumination, we added those three conditions as well as an opportunity for people to come back to the council after we had about an hour-long discussion and got some wording in there where people could go ahead and do it. So anyway, I presented both of these to the council on February, and I'll let John explain what happened.
Well, the first one went over pretty well, from what I remember.
Yeah, the first one was passed without discussion. Let me come back to that. Cause
yeah, we really need to clarify, because that's why it's back on here again, because of the verbiage. Apparently there was some confusion with how it was actually written.
Process.
The first time, and mm-hmm. secondly, how it was approved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that needs
so
to be
I'm not even sure what was actually approved, because what was presented to me is that a sentence was left out. I thought, okay, well, the sentence at the end. But then I heard it had to do with the illumination in that the language that was presented on the K Avenue, let's talk about K Avenue first. The language that was presented to the K Avenue Overlay District was missing a sentence or didn't have anything about illumination. And I don't know what was actually in front of the council, because for the original public hearing, it did have that language in it. I don't understand how that language could not be before the council without that illumination language in it.
This was added, though, after they voted on it.
I guess what we need to decide is, what do you want approved?
Yeah. But can what was actually approved by the council? I guess I'm not even clear what was actually approved by the council for the K Avenue. Because they approved the whole overlay district ordinance, which had language for the illumination in there.
Do you not have any of that up there?
No. I don't have what actually council approved. I think that
the process, because this was the first consistency statement we submitted
for the KF.
But then we had just added one or two words, and we added the red section. But they said they didn't vote on that because they didn't know
that was
two separate things.
That was not supposed to be in this, because we don't need to refer to residential zones in a K Avenue overlay district. See, this red was not supposed to be in there. What the council approved was what we approved to go before the council. See, in the overlay district, we didn't need that in there. Okay, because we're just restricted. It's just simply saying, no, you can't have it.
But that's just the illumination. That's just for section 378.
That's not the overlay district, then.
No.
Well, where's the overlay district? I thought that was the overlay district right here. So this is what was before the council, right? For the overlay district? And they voted on that, right?
Well, they didn't realize they were voting. They said they didn't know. They didn't know they were supposed to be voting on two separate things. They thought it was one thing. That's where they were confused.
I thought there was language missing.
No language missing from the overlay.
They said they didn't realize that we were adding H.
H has been in there since the public hearing.
There was a discrepancy with what was in front of town council and what was approved here. That's where the problem is.
That's what they did not understand. But they didn't read the whole thing. Because I didn't give it to them highlighted. So they didn't read the whole thing and realizing that we added.
I don't think there's any discrepancy. I think everybody is, I think the council is mistaken on that. This language regarding the bare light source, okay, has been in the K Avenue Overlay District for public hearing.
They don't. And so they ask us to do another consistency statement, putting these attachments so they can vote on them separately, two separate statements, so they are aware of what they're voting on. Because they said they didn't know they were voting on two different things.
Is this they or did Nancy?
Well, that's what she's saying.
The conversation that I heard was council didn't have that specific document in front of them. What they approved and what Josie had was not the same thing.
Okay. I don't believe that. Okay, first of all, because the K Avenue document has not changed at all from the public hearing. It's the same document that we've had. It has just the standard as part of the lighting, because it's not affecting any business. There's no businesses there in the K Avenue. So we want to say, okay, we don't want to have lighting and all that sort of stuff. So it's that language has been in there since day one of the K Avenue Overlay District. Okay. Where they got confused, and I think maybe a little bit of confusion on John's part in terms of the discussion, is at the same time we're talking about the illumination as part of the overall business district. Right. And really, the two should have been completely separated. But because it's the same language, or near about the same language, there's a lot of confusion. But I'm 99.9% sure.
I'm just telling you what the conversation I heard between Nancy Hewitt and Nancy Edgar was.
Okay.
That what they had in the packet was not the same thing as what Josie was giving them.
Okay. I'm going to check on that because I think they're wrong. Okay.
As long as we know that that's what you want to go before council, there shouldn't be any coming
in. It's already approved by the council. It's not, I mean, this is what went before the council, was approved for the council.
The same as the new consistency statement.
In fact, to be honest, what is even missing, well, okay.
Because that's what they say, the process.
The process.
Nancy.
Do the consistency same. Again.
Oh, everything that she's telling you right now is coming from the town clerk. I don't want you to think that every council member is in the office saying we didn't approve that. It wasn't like that.
I need to talk to the town clerk because the emails I was getting from her was very confusing. Okay, and but I need to talk to her because I believe that the K Avenue, I'm 99.9% sure, there's a chance I'm wrong, but the K Avenue Overlay District had this language in it as part of our lighting. From the public hearing through all the presentations to the council, it's not something we even addressed in terms of any of the concerns of the council. That is what it is, and that's what was before the council in the original consistency statement for the whole K Avenue. It's not just that particular component, but for the whole K Avenue.
Right.
Okay. That's what the consistency thing was for the overall K Avenue. I think that's been approved. I don't think it has anything.
I'm going by what she said.
I'm going to talk about
what she didn't have, what they understood they voted on, what they didn't vote.
They were confused. Now the other thing is the overall illumination for the rest of the business area, and the concerns there was would it impact existing businesses? This K Avenue doesn't impact any existing businesses. But would the overall illumination impact existing businesses? Now, quite frankly, what I have before here still doesn't have the language that the commission approved. Okay? Because this now is just the section 19-378. It has the same language. It doesn't apply to residential zones. But we also approved to have in there originally that somebody could apply for to the commission and to the council to have an approved lighting program that would have these sort of things. That's not in this language right now. Okay? And that's what we voted upon to have brought to the council. That's what I presented to. And the council, through a variety of different miscommunications, basically sent back to us. But this still doesn't have the language that we actually approved, which has the approved sign program, or the lighting program language in it. So there seems to be some confusion about what's going out there. I mean, I'm sorry, basically, I think that the overall ordinance has been sent back to us for revisiting. The other one was sent back to us, I think, mistakenly, because the council feels that there's something in there that they didn't read, and I think that's 100% wrong. Okay, I believe
you are 100% wrong. I'm here to tell you you're 100% wrong. The first one was approved. Nancy Avery found a discrepancy in what she had and what Judge gave her. So we're trying to make sure that's clarified, send back to her with the consistency statement so I can go back to she's just trying to clean up the paper trail. That's right. All she's trying to do.
That's all.
Okay.
The second one was sent back to PNC. Right. And that is my fault. And I'm more willing to take that blame. I was mistaken in what was approved. You got up, you made a presentation, council asked me if I agreed with it, and I told them I didn't. I didn't in our commission meeting in February, and I didn't in the town council meeting. My fault. I made a mistake, misunderstood what you were presenting and what was actually approved, and that's why I got sent back.
Okay. What I need to do tomorrow is I'm going to go in and find out exactly what was given to separate the K Avenue Overlay District. See what the council actually was given versus what we approved that they were given, and see if there really is a difference. Okay. The overall illumination, section 19-378, it was sent back. The general feeling is that they didn't like the idea that we keep it open as to an approval of the lighting program, and the sense that I have is that they wanted language that had more specificity into it as to what we would allow and what we would not allow. That was the impression I had about the overall illumination issue. That's section 19-378. So, looking at section 19-378, okay, not the K Avenue Overlay District, the language there, but the language in section 19-378, what I have in front of me is not what we actually approved, because it doesn't have the language of the, you know, allowing them to come here and get approval of a illumination program. We use the same language as for the sign ordinance, but just put lighting in it. That's not in here. And they didn't like it anyway. So basically, I think we're being asked to be more specific about what we want and what we don't want. In the illumination of 19-378, not the K Avenue. K Avenue, it's not affecting any business that's already out there. Okay, and we're going to get John's approval on this so we don't have disagreement in front of the council. Right?
If the commission votes on this, I'm going to say that as long as they're happy with it, I'm happy with it.
All right. Yeah. I would appreciate that. I look pretty dumb.
What's the word?
Hey, I felt pretty dumb too, you know.
You felt dumb the next day. I felt dumb in front of those people. Next day.
I'm confused. What word are we using? What version are we using there to present to council? If this one isn't right, then what are we using?
My notes from the February 4th PNZ meeting had language, unless approved as part of a planned lighting plan.
That's not in here. You don't see it. Right?
Well, no, that is in there.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Let's approve the plan as part of the plan. Right. Okay. So anyway, that was sent back. They didn't like that. They want more specificity. But the bottom line is, at least in the ordinance 19-378, I presented it. They were concerned that they wanted more specificity. They were concerned that it affects some existing businesses. And they sent it back for tweaking or whatever. And I know, Alan, that was your concern, too, that you wanted more specificity in it, so.
Well, the only concern I have is the whole neon thing. And I think that's why we put in the planned lighting program, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to give, if people have something attractive,
it's artistically.
Yeah, artistic, yeah, we can do it. So, where do we go? John, do you have any suggestions as to how this could be written in a way that satisfies your concern? Because you were concerned about this, the part of a planned lighting program.
I was concerned from our February meeting. I threw my concerns out there, and Holt Moore actually agreed with me that he felt like there should be more specificity also. Primarily in that, just saying no, unless it's approved by a plan lighting program, I mean, that could go any variety of ways, and that's my concern. If you that's know, what you want to leave in there, I don't really care at this point. I'd just rather go ahead and get on by it, because I doubt there'd be that many plan lighting programs presented for our commission. But I just see that this is going to be anything that's vague always becomes an issue later.
By the way, you did, when we talked, you pointed out that you did check the Whitesville Beach ordinance, which is basically the same language, basically. We added a few things here, but it's basically the same language. And if, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but Whitesville Beach is even stricter. They simply say, this is it, and it's got to be taken care of in 90 days, right? I mean, there is no opportunity.
Something like that.
Yeah, but there is no opportunity in Whitesville Beach for a planned lighting program to have this. That's the ordinance, and they say that's it, and it's got to be taken down or in compliance within 90 days. So Riceville Beach is actually much stricter than what we were allowed. Alan, do you have any ways of making it more specific? I mean, I was a big supporter of the wording, unless approved as a part of the plan binding program, but that was kind of shot down, so I'm not.
How long did you take that out? Is it specific enough?
But then it says no to anybody who has anything.
Yeah.
And we were concerned about doing that. And I know that's not going to fly past the council, because they want to make it actually more not affecting the existing businesses. So, you know, if we make it stricter, like Riceville Beach, I don't think that would fly past council.
Well, I mean, what's the only thing that's going to affect the existing businesses now would be the outline of Jack Michaels.
Yeah, probably outline of Jack Mackerel's. I think that
that's still there.
The gas station down here has a window LED lighting thing. I believe, but it's not lit. But I checked. I believe there's some sort of exposed lighting on the one that's further down. I mean, it's not really a big issue, really. You know, clearly what we want to prevent is the sort of thing you see downtown and stuff.
But and. I don't think I brought this up before. This is in the back of my mind. Doesn't subsection 11 of our sign code take care of that?
I think it does, but one of the council members insisted that it didn't. I raised that to the council member, and he insisted that he knew better than we did, and that his reading of the sign ordinance didn't take care of it.
How about the town attorney?
I don't know, like I said, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, so
I agree.
Don't want to do. It doesn't really matter how one councilman reads an ordinance. I will point that out also.
I wouldn't have any problem, as long as we go back on a common voice.
That'll be the last time.
Okay. A common voice, but going back with what we have, and maybe tweaking, because Alan's concerned about the use of neon. And I understand exactly what he's saying. Neon can be attractive and all that sort of thing. So, if anybody has a suggestion, and I agree, this is a pretty trivial thing that is kind of exploding into a much bigger issue than what it really should. So.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about unlining a building in neon, I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to outline a building with neon that you can go over and touch. Because you basically going to get electrocuted.
Okay.
I mean, that's why it's up around the top of the building on Jack Mackles, because if you touch that, it's exposed.
Right.
And you're going to get shot. So, I mean, and it's expensive.
I mean, I have no problem with Jack Mackles. I do do have a little bit of a problem with the LED lights there, because that's starting to get close to what we don't want to have. And that's why I like to have an approved plan lighting program. Come and present it, and we'll say yes or no, but I don't know. Any suggestions?
So they don't like the plan lighting program. So
they didn't like it because John didn't like it.
That's exactly right.
They didn't like it because John didn't like it. Bottom line, this would have passed without any conversation if John would have said, yeah, he agrees with me. Period.
I hate to really agree with them, but that's the truth. That's exactly how it went down. Had I known that, I wouldn't have said a damn word. But why we just won't call the plan
lighting program
then? Well, that's what it's supposed to. I mean, that's kind of where it's referencing it, you know. But there again, it's not really specified.
You want to say, unless approved as part of a plan lighting program by P&Z and council? Because I guarantee you, after the discussion, they want to have an opportunity that if it comes to us and we say no, the council's going to want to
make it. Well, put that out there and say we discussed it some more, and that's what we think needs to happen then.
Don't they always have that option?
They can always have
that option. Yeah, that's why this is really a non-issue.
It makes no sense.
Well, they do after they change the ordinance.
So if, with the language we have here, unless approved as part of a planned lighting program, we don't really specify who approves the program.
No.
So I guess what we could do is add, unless approved by the inspector, approved by the P&Z, or approved by the council, or a sequence of approval, or something like that. And that may, as long as you kind of agree with what we do, you know, I think it'll pass that way. And that'll take care of Jack Mackerel's. If Jack Mackerel's wants to have, they can just come to us and say, this is what we have, and we say it's approved, and then that takes care of it.
And if we say no, they can
go to the council. Mm-hmm.
They don't have to do anything special. They always have that opportunity when they come here because we tell them that.
Right.
So absolutely. Why don't we just do that then?
Sounds great.
So how about if we change it, unless approved as part of a planned lighting program as approved by P&Z and, okay,
unless you want to, you know, let John approve them all.
Do you want to hear me disagree again?
I don't have a problem looking at somebody's lighting plan.
No, I don't have a problem either. It's done in a lot of panels, you know. Sign programs, lighting plans, and stuff like that. So. Do you want to put, and I think we probably would need some language, which can be appealed to the council. I think that would probably soften it a little bit.
Just with final approval by town council. I don't know.
Okay.
So it'd be treated like anything else the P&Z does. It's final approval always comes.
It's just that it's more specified in here given what happened. So.
But if we were to approve it,
then it wouldn't go any further.
That's not what that last sentence says.
When it's done?
With final approval by the town council. The main means we approved it, forwarded it.
Yeah, and it would probably be on the consent agenda.
That's mostly how, you know, P&Z works anyway. If you want to have it differently, by all means.
All right, so I'll make the motion just to push this forward. That, and this is only for 19-378, not for the K Avenue. I think I'm going to go investigate what actually happened in that situation. But for the section 19-378, to add after, unless approved as part of a planned lighting program, add the phrase as approved by Planning and Zoning Commission with final approval by Town Council.
Okay, get a second.
Okay, and this is only for section 19-378, not for the language in the K Avenue overlay. Okay, is there further discussion?
Who's second?
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, so just so we can clarify, what I will do tomorrow is I will find out what the objection is to the K Avenue issue.
Oh, here.
Okay.
When you sit down together and
sit down and see what was done.
There is some kind of paper trail inconsistency that okay. comes down.
And if there is, there is, and we'll deal with what that inconsistency is. And then the only thing that's going to be on the council, because we haven't dealt with the paper inconsistency of the K Avenue, because I really don't know what it is yet. The only thing that's going to be on the council agenda then is section 19. The section 19-378. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're not going to have anything on the council dealing with the K Avenue until the following meeting once we clear up what really they need from us. Is that okay with everybody? I think it's good to bifurcate these two things in two different meetings so it will eliminate some of the confusion. All right, so, and so you will go ahead and put together a separate consistency statement for section 19-378 based upon what we just approved. Okay, so neither one of these I need to sign right now. Okay, and but I'll sign the consistency statement when it's put together
yeah.
for
19-378. I can email that to you.
Okay, all right. All right, Curie Beach owned properties, the next agenda item.
I gave you a survey here. I would have printed it up there, but our printer broke today. The surveyor happened to just get me this today. So if you don't mind putting this in your folders, reviewing it, and this will be on the agenda next month for subdivision approval procedure, which is Chapter 15. I don't think anybody, Alan's the only one that's been through a subdivision procedure, I believe, for Curie yeah. Beach. Yeah. Should be very, very simple here. We're not really creating a new subdivision. We're just putting a piece of land up. And
So what you're proposing is basically extending Anchor Way into a linear dead end.
That's correct. Okay. And creating 5 lots.
Who owns that property today?
Town owns this property, yes, sir.
Town council. How much money can make from it?
I don't know yet. Town council directed me to go ahead and subdivide the property and bring it before P&Z for subdivision. This does not mean that we have to record it. It just means that we're following our procedures.
What about stormwater and all that stuff?
You can notice the stormwater drainage system or easements along the property already there. There are some requirements in Chapter 15 that specify what needs to be put on the plat as far as that's concerned. And reading through, I don't believe this falls in the parameters of having to get a state stormwater permit for this subdivision.
Is Barry going to object to this? What might he object on?
He did the last time we talked about it, but he was also in town council at that time. I haven't heard anything yet from him. This would have to go before public hearing and all. I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he will object. The only reason I can think of is that he wouldn't want another house for it, so I don't know.
But he doesn't have the inside information that if something's going on here that he would object to? I mean, other than he doesn't want a house next to him.
I don't think there's any other reason.
Okay. No stormwater issues or anything like that?
No, sir.
Okay.
Do we have anything on the books about Denon?
There are some things in there, too. Like I said, I just now got this today, so I haven't had any time to review it or compare it against our ordinance. The only thing it says is that I have to, when this comes in, it needs to go to y'all 15 days before your next meeting, at which time it needs to be gone through and approved or disapproved.
Can I just ask a question as to why you didn't, why do we need Anchor Way? It seems to me that you could get 5 lots out of that. One little bit larger without doing anything to extend Anchor Way. You just make that basically a lot, and then you got a little entry over into a little bit larger lot or an executive lot there.
I presented council with 4 different alternatives, different lot.
That would be one of them, because you can see how you could easily.
I set it up where there was easements that you could access those 2 back lots that face towards the ocean, and that, this was my recommendation to council, and they had four different alternatives that they could choose from.
And this is, okay, so this is just one of the alternatives.
That's correct. That's the one that they told me to proceed with.
So this will be on our agenda. We don't need to discuss that.
I just want to go ahead and give it to you because I got it today. So it's coming.
Okay.
If you aren't familiar with Chapter 15, please review it.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on Curie Beach Home property? New business? Anybody have new business? Member items, I guess this would be also old business, is that I just want to remind everybody that the commission does have a faithful attendance of meetings requirement. And I thought there was a requirement as to a certain number of absences per year, but it doesn't appear that there is. It's just faithful attendance, so I just got to remind everybody that. And I guess that's about it. Is there any other member items?
Hey, what do you think of the new tangerine? It's going to be the seafood buffet place up at Carolina Beach.
I think they'll put some LED lights around it.
Yeah.
You know.
Light up the lobsters.
Yeah, light up the lobsters. And get some blinky things out there.
So. Light spring tacky.
That's starting to look a little Myrtle Beach.
Absolutely.
We're from Myrtle Beach.
Well, I think Sally Ford, that has not been a successful location in a lot of different things, so I hope they can pull it off. So.
I just got glad we agree on that. That's not affordable.
All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Second.
I mean, not as part of business, but who picks the new attorney for Sally Ford?
Oh. Yeah, actually,
it's town council's. Told town clerk to explore alternatives.
Did they have to technically put it out for an ad or something like that for your council? Or for a commission council?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
They weren't really willing to do it at first. They explained why, and I had to get up and kind of back her up. But we'll see what happens.